and welcome to the Original Content Podcast. I'm Anthony Ha.
I'm Jordan Crook.
And I'm Daryl Etherington.
And every week we review a new streaming show or movie. This week, partly because I think some of us were a little busy or not feeling great, we decided to, instead of like tackling a big project, we went a little bit further back to a movie that came out a couple months ago, The Tinder Swindler. I mean, it also just has possibly the catchiest title of anything on Netflix.
Is it catchy though, Anthony? Because like, you know what it makes me think of when I hear it said aloud or I have to say it aloud? Did you guys ever watch 30 Rock?
Just the first season.
Do you remember the rural juror?
Yeah.
That's what the Tinder Swindler.
You do want to say Tindler. That's the hard thing.
Tindler Swindler. Yeah, you do want to say that. I think it's funny because it's like based on that article, right? Like that was provided the basis for most of the material, and it works in whatever language that was too, Norwegian or something. Because that was the name of their article too, but it was like Tinder Swindler, and it was like, oh, okay, it's good for you guys too.
Yeah, I guess they're sort of, the languages must be similar enough.
Yes, indeed.
Let's say that also this is all, since this has been widely reported, I think anything in this documentary is fair game. I don't think we should worry too much about spoilers.
Right. No. Yeah. I mean, I went into it kind of blind, but it was only because I just didn't really pay attention to details about it when it came out. I paid attention to like, oh, it's out and there's a response to it, but I didn't really get into any of the like, I don't actually know what happened. I didn't actually know what happened until I watched it, which was fun. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, I would say that, I mean, I don't think it's great, but it's fun watching. So if you want to go in completely fresh, which is probably fine, nice, then you should just go ahead and watch it because I think we all enjoyed it.
But you don't want to do that. Just listen to us.
Yeah, just listen. It's fine. It's all good.
Yeah,
it might be even better to do it that way.
Yeah. And then,
we'll tell you the story.
We'll
just
tell
the
you
way
you can't get swindled. You won't get swindled if you listen to us. This is like a public service thing that we're doing.
Right. Well, that did seem like part of the angle of the documentary is that like there's this crusading spirit, and this is why the women who are on camera participated, because they just want to make sure this guy can't get away with it again. So we're doing our part.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we're honoring their wishes.
So does somebody want to try to just explain the basic concept of who the Tinder Swindler is?
Well, he's a guy.
That's a good start. Yep.
Yeah.
He's on Tinder.
He's on Tinder, and his whole MO is basically reel in somebody. They don't even need to be, this is the beauty of his scam, is they don't even need to be wealthy, right? So he just gets somebody hooked and appears to be a very wealthy person with a very extravagant lifestyle. And that's part of the whirlwind romance of it all. That's kind of what gets people attached early on. And then eventually, and it's a pretty long con, it seems like he is willing to string them along for pretty well, but he pretends to have a very high-flying lifestyle, so he's all over the place, all over the world, periodically meeting back up with the woman in question. And then eventually he flips the table and is kind of like, well, we're in trouble, I'm running out of money. Because my enemies have frozen my assets, it's something beyond my control. I just temporarily don't have access to the immense wealth that I am heir to, because he pretends to be heir to a diamond fortune. And so can you please take out a loan to tide me over? He does another good thing. He usually asks small first, so like a relatively small amount of money, though still quite a bit. And then once the women acquiesce to that, later he ups it by asking them to take out loans in their name and forward him the money, but just as a very temporary measure, because he'll immediately pay them back. But essentially what he's doing this is using this money to fund the presentation of Lavis lifestyle to his next victim, so he can continue the pyramid. And he may be doing many of these at once. It's kind of like still not known exactly the extent, at least in the course of the documentary, of his machinations, but that's his whole shtick.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess we should say, just in case he's listening to this podcast, that so if he does, he did do some jail time in Israel, but I, at least from what the reporting I've seen, he's sort of wanted for, you know, some of these crimes that are described in the documentary, but has never been arrested or convicted for them. So technically, these are all allegations that have not been proven in a court of law, but and that he has also like threatened to sue the makers of the documentary and things like that, because he says it's not true. But also, like, the documentary is pretty persuasive, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and like the person that he was impersonating is real and exists and like isn't him.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't know if like, so is that at least he's not thing. Part of this family that he claims he's part of this like diamond family. Yeah. And that but family he's, like, is not.
Yeah. That family's like, no, this isn't ours.
Right. And they've like sued him for impersonating a member of their family.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're currently in that process, I think, right? It's like not a closed matter. I think the suit is ongoing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jordan, you were the one who watched this first. I mean, it does seem just like to have a pretty great hook. Did you feel like it lived up to what you were hoping for?
It just screamed out to me. So here's my two big takeaways. First, and I don't think this will be too unexpected for you guys. You know me pretty well. Of course, I have tons of respect for this guy. I mean, he's a bad guy, of course. I don't condone his actions, but I always have a lot of respect for people that are clever enough to game everyone else, cult leaders.
To run good scam, right.
Exactly. Confidence men. Like, I don't, that takes some bravery and some wits, and it must be incredibly exhausting. So a lot of persistence as well. So I always enjoy watching, you know, tales like this, because I think that there is something special. Just imagine if someone had harnessed him in the right way. You know what I mean? Like, pretty amazing. So anyways, that's one big takeaway. Second big takeaway is I don't actually love the documentary. Like, I think that it relied, like, reenactments are getting a lot better in documentaries, and more of them are relying really, really heavily on them. And in a lot of ways, that's okay, because they are getting a lot better and, like, you know, not so clumsy and kind of like cheap looking. But this one was just so much of that, and so much of it took place on like text message or WhatsApp or whatever, that like, plus these interviews with these women, which unfortunately I don't have a lot of respect for. Like, I feel bad for what they went through.
Interesting.
I'm sorry, it just like, it seems pretty obvious to me, like, you love someone and they love you. Okay, like, I can get falling in love quickly. I'm a lesbian. Did it a bunch of times. But then, like, the money part is a little harder for me to get on board with. Like, I just don't understand. If someone's that wealthy, no one wealthy is ever asking you for money. I promise. Right. Like, it's just not how wealth works. It's just not. Even in a situation where there's, like, security or whatever, like, you got to hit up your common sense there and be like, there's no reason it would be me. This person has a daddy who works in the diamond business. This person has all kinds of associates and family and friends. Why me, that he just started dating a month ago, does he need money from? And that's the part that, like, we couple this kind of like narrator-ish that I don't fully respect, and then all these reenactments, and I was just kind of like, this is cheesy.
Right. I think I didn't have problems with the documentary itself. I did have a lot of thoughts about that. I think there was like a lot of it was me trying to evaluate the prevalence of the like victim blaming tendency. Like, well, yeah, like it wouldn't happen to me, so. Like,
but because I would have done
thing XYZ. I know, but that was the problem, is that I kept running up against that. And then I was like, but is it just the effect being very strong? Because, like, yeah, I mean, the minute that they were like, okay, take it alone, it's like, this is absurd. It makes no sense whatsoever. And the documentary didn't do a good job of like explaining mitigating circumstances that would have caused someone to go along with that, right? Maybe that did exist, but they didn't present the evidence that that existed, right?
Well, and it just went too far to one side, right? Because it's like, I actually do understand that there are people out there who fall in love to the point and they're like, for whatever reason, that is the core of what they want and who they are. That's like the ultimate treasure of like, I'm loved by someone and they love me. And like, that's all I've been hoping for, and how badly that can blind you. But they almost played that up too much. Like, I would have rather heard like experts talk about that as a phenomenon. But instead we have these women being like, my favorite movie was Cinderella and like the Disney, and I just prince in shining armor and white knight. And like, they played it up so much that like, this is what went wrong, that it was almost like, yeah, you're stupid. You know, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm a terrible person for victim blaming, but I like can say 100% this wouldn't happen to me.
Right.
I guess like for me, it feels like the thing that it wouldn't happen to me is the like, I don't think I would let this somebody who just seems so obviously douchey and terrible pull me into his or her orbit just because of money, I'd like to think. But like the thing that I can understand is that when you are sort of that deep into a relationship with somebody, like you just don't want to say no. And right. So you know, there's
part I understand.
Yeah. That like, there's just like, you just want, even if you like, everything's like, this seems bad. Like there's a desire to like say yes and be accommodating. I think the thing that also they touch on a little bit, but did not, I think, maybe delve into this enough, is it's also like in the context of, you know, you guys were talking about like, oh yeah, like a wealthy person, which I agree with, is that every, you know, person of wealth who I've dealt with tends to use their money as a kind of power, right? And so like, as soon as you pay for anything or they ask you for money, then the power dynamic is totally shifted. And so they would never do that.
Plus they all have like 7,000 different backups. Like to get to the bottom is like so, so difficult for someone.
Right, that right, exactly. But I think that it's also that I do think that part of the person he's targeting is probably somebody who is, you know, has enough exposure to wealth and sort of the quote unquote, like finer things, that they'll be excited about the things he's showing around, that it doesn't seem totally. Also, I would never get on a plane with somebody on the first date.
Right.
That as well. Like I would definitely get swept up by someone being wealthy. I'll like counter you on that one, because I could see that totally happening. And I'm not even sure it hasn't happened with me. It probably has. But I can also see wanting to say yes to someone that you care about, right? But like, I just would never give money. And I would never, ever get on a plane with someone, a private plane with someone I met on Tinder that day.
Right.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. The private plane is a big one. I think the thing is about, I guess part of the point I wanted to make about the money is that it's when there's this such disparity in wealth that there's this, it's hard to separate also, like, do I love this person because like he is great or is it because he's rich? And like, it's a little bit of both. And then like, when he asks for the money, it's a little bit like, oh, I want to say yes because I care about him and I don't want him to be hurt. But also it's because he's rich. And so if I don't give him the money, I'm cutting off my chance to either be married to or to get this money. Like, one of the things
secures your future, right? Like it's hard to, you're in a relationship, I think we're all battling against like, oh, you don't want to think too far out in the future. And then at a certain point you're like, let's make sure we're on the same page for the future. And then you're like, let's go achieve our future. Right. There's like steps involved. Once you're dating someone who has a ton of money, it's really hard to stop yourself from being like, I could have this house and I could have this thing and my kids could have this. And you know what I mean? Like you kind of get spellbound a little bit by that. So I understand that piece of it.
Yeah. And it's it's kind of like they might not even realize it on the conscious level, but it's like, oh, this is like a way to securitize this thing. It's like, oh, if I make them owe me in this one way, this one time, then I kind of lock it in. But also he was very clever about the fake paybacks where he would like, very much exceed the amount or whatever, and it was like that bought him at least a bit of extra time, right, where they were like, wow, he's so generous, I'm gonna be gracious in my response, even if the check's not going through for a little while. I'm gonna be extra gracious because I stand to make 100x on my original commitment, right.
One of the things that was really striking to me was the scene where one of the women who he's conned into giving him $40,000. He's like, I just deposited $100,000 into your bank account. And like, that's the happiest you see her in like the entire right. movie is,
yeah.
Oh my God. You know?
Yeah. But it's hard, I guess, to convey this, but no point did the documentary convince me that he was like worthy of great affection just by virtue of who he was as a person. Like, he did not seem like a particularly kind, interesting, individual, unique, like nothing about him seemed like, oh, like, yeah, like I could see falling for that guy independent of the fact that he's bonkers wealthy or pretending to be bonkers wealthy. Right. So like, I don't really feel that part of it. Like, I'm not like, oh, these girls, these women were so, so head over heels in love with him because he's such a terrific guy. It was like, no, he's just like a generic sleaze bag in terms of his actual communications.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It's like, oh, my dear, I really care about you and want a future with you. It's like,
right.
Yeah. So I'm just like standard by the book love bombing. Like, anybody could do it. We could go do right. it, all three of us right now.
All right, let's do it. This is a new type of podcast now.
First one to get a $30,000 loan wins.
Man. Okay. I think, yeah, I mean, there was also this scene where she's like, oh, and then I recognized all the messages he sent me that they were also quoting in the messages he sent to the other girls. And his messages were like, I love you. I miss you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Let's have kids. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, pretty standard stuff there.
Which, yeah, I would say that maybe the version of that that I of the, that judgment that I feel comfortable saying on air is that I think it speaks to this really toxic system, right? Where like people are sort of
yes.
valued for their money, and you're sort of, and like she even, one of the women says this at the beginning is like, oh, the way I approach dating is, you know, it's sort of like what Marilyn Monroe says about men,
right. or like, and they use that quote.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, rich, you don't have to be rich, but sure doesn't hurt. And
yeah,
that I think is, I think they are far from the only people who feel that way. I mean, obviously that's a big part of their friendship with this guy.
Right. Yeah. I think that you're right. It's wrong to call it materialism as like a character deficiency, because it's sort of like built into the system.
It's
right
who
it's
we
like,
all are at some yeah, level yeah, yeah. right, like some more yeah. than others obviously, but there's like a shred right. of it in everyone. So I don't necessarily call them out on their materialism. I call them out on the separation between church and state of what, how they thought things through, right? Like
right.
your brain should at some point kick in and be like,
yeah,
I'm gonna like lay off all of this oxytocin for a minute and just think. Should I give someone tens of thousands of dollars? Anyone, really.
Right.
Right.
Well, it seems, I think, actually the Dutch woman, it seems like perhaps did have that, or like, we don't know. Because it sounds like she did something. She had some outlay into him, but it didn't seem like she had gone to the lengths that the others had in terms of taking out all these multiple high interest loans against each other. Like, she was still in the early innings. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, she's easily the most sympathetic character in the show, I think.
She's at least the Dutch woman is the one who's like sort of introduced last and is the like his girlfriend when the story breaks.
Yeah, yeah. And she's awesome because she steals all of his stupid fancy clothes and sells them on eBay, and it's
yeah, she really at least does something moment. About it.
But. And she's so happy when she talks about it. She's like, oh, this fucking pathetic guy. Like, yeah, nice.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I had to sleep next to him. It was disgusting. And I was like, yeah, this is great.
Well, and there's so many like memes out there too about people being like, what would you do if your partner said my enemies are after me? Like, truly,
right.
like even right now, like we're all in relatively mature relationships, right?
Yeah.
Like if my enemies are after me, I'd be like, baby, you gotta sleep. Right.
Yeah.
Like just maybe get some sleep and get some good food in you, because you don't have enemies and everything's okay. You know, like,
right.
what does that even mean?
Right. I mean, my enemies are after me.
But... I'm your enemy and I'm taking a break.
The closest I've ever come is just like being like, can you believe what this asshole said on Twitter? Said about TechCrunch or said about me on Twitter. And then, you know, after like talking about it for 10 minutes, I'll be like, oh, I guess this really isn't that big a deal.
Yeah, you get like your first cease and desist for an article, and then you're like, my enemies are after me. And Lisa's like, no, we got you. And then you're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
I agree also, Jordan, that I wasn't crazy about the filmmaking. I think I like the thing I liked is that you do get to spend a lot of time with the women who were his victims. And and while I agree that there are certain things where you're just like, why did you do that? But still, I felt like just by spending time with them, getting to know them better, that was good. And you know, you felt like you could understand them a little bit more. And it's just inherently kind of a fun story. But what I agree that those reenactments, especially like all the time that's spent Googling, that spent like typing out messages in WhatsApp. Like if you took out the typing time, this movie would probably be like 30 to 45 minutes shorter.
Yeah, they did some dumb. There was the one part where they were like talking about a movie or something, and the first they typed it into YouTube, and then it played on YouTube on the phone. And I was like, what? Is that really the way that you needed to depict this? Like, why didn't you just intersperse the clip from the movie instead of making it something they put into their device? And then like the Tinder match notification popped over, and I was like, oh, I guess that's why you did it. It still sucks and was dumb and it was unnecessary. But yeah, so I do think there was a lot of that gloss that was just kind of added to kind of like make it a visual medium, but they missed the mark on that. It was not the right approach.
Yeah, that was like probably better read as a story. In fact, I think the only footage that I found even remotely interesting was when they caught him in the where the reporters were following him.
Oh yeah, and they caught the live footage of the videographer
or whatever. Yeah.
I liked hearing his voice in the voice memos, just because it's so basic. But then he just gets so angry and deranged.
Yeah. He's a fun guy. Yeah, I think I bet it would be better. They showed too on the phone, like the interactive feature article that the Norwegian, or I forget where the newspaper was, but that looked like it would have been pretty good and was probably the right delivery method for this story. Was it VG something? They were like, oh, I was so happy when VG, it's the biggest newspaper in Oslo.
In the and whole I was like, world. What?
I've never
Well, that's part of how he was able to go on, right? Was that he was like, it wasn't quite break the threshold for Interpol. So he could just kind of like hop around from European country to European country. And like, even if it does get out, it's like no one in Paris is reading VG or what, you know what I mean? Like he's just kind of like doing his own thing, hopping around. Nobody can pick up the scent.
Yeah, VG is the newspaper. Verden's gang, apparently, highest circulation in Norway, not just Oslo, all of Norway. So kudos to them. If you're listening, VG,
is that the newspaper that the guy who the journalist and the girl with the dragon tattoo works for?
Is it?
I don't know. Wait, is that Norway?
I feel like I tried to watch that on TV once and it was like a rape scene or something. And I was like,
yeah, that's definitely
where I should onboard.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh, no, he's in Stockholm.
As I turned it on, like that was the first thing I saw. I was like, I don't think so.
No.
Not today, rape scene.
Oh, you can go see the VG article. It's still up, and it is a very beautiful snowfall type presentation of an article.
Which I generally kind of hate, but
I do too. This one looks better than it's like at least less processor intensive. It's not causing my computer to blow up every 10 seconds. So.
If you guys are looking to get me a gift or anything.
The other complaint I have about the documentary is I think in some ways it seems like the most interesting stuff kind of happens after, or some, the thing that left me the most questions is after the end, which you're like, why did this guy only serve 5 years in jail? And he like was never, you know, had to answer for any of the crimes that are like described in the documentary. Like it's just that Israel refused to extradite him. What's the deal? Like,
I think it's a very hard crime to claim, because essentially like the way he went about it was very smart in that almost all of his crimes were like crimes taken on voluntarily by other people after he has just convinced them to do so. Right. And there must be the burden of proof for like that type of fraud must be very, very high. Right.
I wonder how much he thought about that beforehand. This is what kind of what you're talking about, though, Anthony, is like, feels like a lot of the most interesting stuff is kind of locked up inside of his head, unfortunately. Yeah.
Right.
And so we're like spending most of our time with, like, again, these like women that like I didn't really care to spend much time with. And
well, we should go book him on Cameo to ask him what's going on.
Is he doing cameos? Oh, he is, isn't he? That's what
they're going to pay like $50 per revelation.
Yeah, one ETH.
Personalized for you revelation.
Yeah. I mean, like, but that's the stuff that I would be interested in. Like, did he, how much understanding and knowledge, like, per country did he have of the crimes he was actually committing and what it would take to get him locked up? And how much did he, like, toe the line along those, right?
Yeah.
And, like, was he constantly on Tinder planning, or, like, how many girls at once? And, like,
well, and the Israel one was early, right? So it's possible that the earlier one could have just been missteps as he was kind of like getting into it and he wasn't thinking. Well, he was arrested. Where was he actually arrested and spent time in jail?
He was arrested in Athens. Yeah, but then
but earlier, before any of this started.
I think both times it was in Israel.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Let me double check. I don't know. It doesn't say in the Wikipedia page. I guess we'll never know.
We'll never know.
But I think that he, or the documentary in a lot of ways feels like a pretty cursory and just skin deep telling of the story, of like a story that is genuinely pretty compelling. So it's like, I'm glad I watched it. I found it like reasonably entertaining and illuminating, but I feel like they could have definitely done a better job in it. Also does make me appreciate inventing Anna more, which is scripted.
Yes.
So it's free to be, to invent and speculate in a way that this is not, but that show actually seemed interested in, for all of its problems. And there are many, many problems with that show, many things about it that are very dumb, but it's actually interested in this question of like, what is the circumstances and the culture that allowed this person to succeed?
Right.
And then what is also like the psychology of somebody where, yeah, like he gets to live large on other people's money, but it also feels so stressful and terrifying.
It does feel very stressful.
The bottom could fall out at any second.
But that might be part of the appeal for him. I mean, it's really hard to get into that. And like, it's also like not just him, but his confederates, because he essentially has this like entourage that are always with him on these scams too. And like, that's interesting too. I mean, the unfortunate thing of all of this is like, what you're leading to is like, I would like somebody to negotiate a deal with him for his story from his perspective, which sucks because it just means he wins even more. But like,
right,
that's what's interesting about this story, frankly.
I do think I get the sense that it's also like what we would want from him to tell his story is not necessarily. I feel like I'm thinking about the Fire Island situation where I think I think he did initially agree to participate. And so there's a lot of interview footage, although, and then at a certain point he withdrew his participation, but like,
yeah,
it was so stonewally, so like not introspective that it was completely unsatisfying and added very little to the story. And I kind of get the sense that's what this would be as well.
Yeah. I mean, he wouldn't be. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's not like anything he shared would be the actual truth of the situation, although he might be tempted to. Like, when you brought up the NFTs that he's selling and then, like, all his merch, like, he seems so out in the open about it. Like, it doesn't even seem like he has any sort of, like, regret or fear about reprisal from it. So it's kind of like, maybe he would be very, very honest about it because he thinks that he just has to share how smart and clever he has been or something. But, well, like,
I don't know about smart and clever. I think when you lie to that the only way that physically, mentally, emotionally, I think you can keep up something like this is if some piece of you starts to buy into it and that starts to become the majority rather than the minority, right?
Right.
Like, and so I think there's probably some psychotic issues in terms of just like how deeply he buys into all of this.
Mm-hmm.
He probably like truly believes that he is who he says he is, and that he is wealthy, and that his enemies are after him, and that, you know what I mean?
Right.
And like the piece of him that's actually doing the scamming and like touching base with reality is like very blocked off rather than the other way around. Cause we all think like, oh, if I was doing this, I would be stressed out of my mind. Like the only time I was ever doing anything like true to reality was when I was like scamming or talking about scamming, and then everything else was fake. Whereas to him, it probably felt like the scamming part was fake.
Right. Yeah, that's possible that he's now like just kind of embraced the illusion to the point where it is his reality.
Because that's the only way you could do it, right? Like I don't think that you could, you'd be too exhausted.
Yeah. What they really need is to get Peter to turn on him, and then to Peter tell the
Peter is actually suing Netflix right now, claiming.
Is he?
Or the filmmakers, yeah.
Sorry, remind me who Peter is. Is that the bodyguard?
The bodyguard, yeah.
Yeah.
That is
great. What about the girlfriend and the baby? That was like a thing, right?
I have so many. Yeah, I want to know
about that. Oh, yes. That, I mean, and that they just kind of left. I mean, the headcanon for that I came up with was like, because she was the one who was witness in the thing that actually sent him to jail, right?
Right. I don't know originally. If it sent him to jail, but definitely there are these, that eventually they find this article in
VG.
Finland, not in VG. This is not pre-VG.
FG.
Yeah. And there are like three women who are like his victims who go on the record saying like, oh, he like scammed me. And then one of those women turns out to be actually the woman who was said he was, that she was the mother of his child and met. And basically helped to lure this other victim in, at least the way she tells it. So
she probably tried to get her money back.
Well, I think that's what it was. They seem to indicate that it actually is his child, at least insofar as they provide any information about that in the documentary. So that is part of it. And then like, I think, yes, like she was looking to recoup her original losses. Cause he said, look, if you do this for me, I'll cut you in on this and whatever. Right. But yeah, they don't go into any of it, and it's clear she didn't want to get into any of that either.
Well,
but
and it's so I'm much more sure tangly if you have a baby together too, right? Because then you're like, well, maybe we got to set this kid up. Like, maybe I'll just go with the scam to.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but I am pretty sure she testified, because I think that was what was extra interesting to me about it, because I remember thinking, oh, so then he got out of prison, sought her out, and was like, look, I know you did what you had to do, but help me with this. And it'll be the last heist, and then we all get to go off into selling sun, no, not selling sunset, Ocean's 11 together.
Yeah, Ocean's 11. That's what I was thinking too. The big one.
Yeah, exactly.
It never is though.
No, it's never the last one. Or you get nabbed. You always get nabbed on the last one.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that is the thing that I think about a lot from Inventing Anna.
You think about your last score a lot.
That Anna keeps being like, no. The one like. At some point, this deal, this loan is going to come through, and then
and it'll
all
be real.
All the lies I told will turn out to be true.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And, I mean, it's true, right? Like, what's weird about these is we see a lot of them, but like, I'll bet there are tons of these that actually just work out. And like, I think if you're humble enough and you're like cautious enough, you could easily just make this like large amounts of money go missing with no real.
Maybe that's what we should be doing rather than Tinder swindling. Maybe the three of us should get together and just figure out how we could
modest
turn lies into reality.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the argument is that, you know, that's essentially how a lot of finance works now, right? Is like,
that's true.
Elon Musk being like, I have the money to buy Twitter. And then he's like, all right, like, let me spend a week patching together the loans that give me the money to buy Twitter.
And then being like, wait, I don't know. I don't want this.
It's a little high of a price. Who came up with this price, by the way?
Didn't you just say 5 minutes ago?
Where did all these bots
get rid of all the bots on Twitter? What bots?
Where did we get this number? Did I put up this number, or did you guys say this number? Because this number feels high.
Can we go back to the emails? I do think there's some. I understand this a little bit of this like psychology of. Like everyone's doing it. So I'm just, you know, unlucky enough to get caught or whatever. I would also say the other sort of anecdote that falls into the, like the society is to blame camp is the fact that some of the people, when they're talking about how he tricked them, they're like, oh yeah, like I thought like his family had diamond mines, or, oh yeah, I thought his family was like a weapons dealership.
Yeah.
And you're like, actually the person he's pretending to be is worse than the person he turned out to be.
Right.
It's like, oh, like he ripped off some people and that's really horrible for them. They're still in debt, paying off the debt. But at least he's not like selling weapons that are like killing like tons of people. That
right.
That,
or that running diamond mines where like, you know, not great stuff is going on the ground probably.
Well, and those also diamond mines. When you think about it too, then compare that to inventing Anna and like she was ripping off banks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that stupid girl. Well, I'm sorry. I have no empathy for her either. I really don't. Like use. You get what you give in this world. Okay.
That's right. You get what you give.
That's exactly what you get.
That came up when we were watching this too. Like we were watching it early and I think it was like, I think Tara was saying like, I can't believe what he's doing. And I was like, I mean, he's not selling them into human slavery, which is what a lot of other people are doing in similar circumstances. He's just kind of like tricking some people who are pretty well off out of their fictional money so that they then have to go declare bankruptcy or whatever. Like, I don't know. They probably were not suffering a major overhaul in their
station. That's why I think that he's the protagonist again. Like, I just don't. Right.
And as from what I understand, they are working on an inventing Anna style show about him. So we'll see.
Oh, no. They better not make him charismatic.
I don't think he needs more.
Well, it also does make me feel kind of bad that we're already, in our very, very, very small way, contributing to his notoriety because it's clear he's clearly loving it.
Yes,
he's trying to walk this line of like, oh, no, like I'm innocent. I, you know, this is all bullshit. Like, how dare you say these things about me, but also let me monetize all this notoriety and kind of be like, nudge, nudge, wink, wink about the whole thing.
Right.
Well, we threw off his last scam. So he's got to find a new one now. So he, in the meantime, he's got to have some sort of cash flow.
Yeah. It's the t-shirts that say my enemies are after me that are going to do it for me.
That said, you know,
money's money.
He's not licensing any new fonts for it either. He just went with generics that are available.
Like a Helvetica or something.
Anywhere. Free of license. Yep. Smart. He's got the margins in mind.
Yeah.
So I do want to know what happened to Peter's head. Like, I really would like to know in reality.
They did it on purpose, for sure. 100%.
I think they just got into a bar fight and then were like, sweet, this works out great for us. It was like there was another moment where, there was all these stories about the Diamond family, and I was like, wait, how are there that many stories with the Diamond family? Like, that seemed to also just be lucky coincidence that was happening at the same time. And he was like, see, look at the news headlines about my family.
They're like news stories that he would send about how the family was in trouble.
Yeah I think that and Peter, because Peter, they were at a cool club and then Peter was trying to, he was shooting his mouth off or something. He was doing his cool dance. Like, they had the good video of him doing his cool dance at the club. Did you see? And
he's a
like,
very good dancer.
He can't see me. Just like clapping very enthusiastically.
And bopping. There's some bopping.
And bopping. Yeah. I don't. That's don't what I'm going to beat do me up. He is a giant person. Don't listen to this and beat me up, Peter.
Or sue us for however hundreds of millions.
Also that one. We never said anything demonstrably false. So you can't do that one.
Oh yeah, I wasn't even worried about it. And we don't have Yahoo Legal behind us on this guy.
Listen, all we're doing is describing what happened in the documentary. What happened in real life, that's none of these statements should be construed
for the courts.
I mean,
decide.
If anything, I'm praising them. So you guys are on your own.
Yeah, we think that he did a very good job with his crimes, which he definitely did.
I called him the protagonist.
Any final thoughts about the Tindler swindler?
No, you said it wrong that time too.
No, that was intentional. Was that on purpose?
Roger. Yeah, I don't have any. I mean, I've been pretty clear about where I stand on this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's fine. It's one of those things where it's like, it's not even going to get, I don't think it strikes the level of like, what do you call it? Like, you know, Tiger King or like any of these other Netflix things.
No, not even close,
yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. It's but like, definitely well, interesting, I think. So
it's one to have in your back
pocket. If you
want to
kill some time. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It's a good back pocket doc, right? When you're like, oh, I really want a documentary and I never got around to that one. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah. But and it was like, nearly 2 hours, but I didn't like feel like it dragged.
Oh,
really,
I did feel like it dragged. I felt like when I first saw that, I was like, great, like this is the first true crime thing that's not like four episodes and like dragged out and expanded more than necessary. But then after I watched it, I was like, oh, this could have been an hour and a half.
25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Or an hour and a half, whatever.
Yeah. Well, let us know what you think about the Tinder Swindler. You can shoot us an email, info@originalcontentpodcast.com. That's info@originalcontentpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @originalcontent. And we always appreciate it when you leave us a positive review in Apple Podcasts or the podcast app of your choice. Thank you so much for listening. Jordan and Daryl, I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Later.